Okay, we're gonna call a legal ombudsman, I think, and we're gonna have a go at that. 12:06 on the 4th of the 5th, 2021. To find out some information.
Thank you for calling the Financial Ombudsman Service switchboard. We do record our phone calls. If you're happy for us to do so, please press 1. If you don't want us to record, if you already have a case with us, or if you'd like to bring a new complaint to us, please press 1. We'll then take you through to some further options so we can find the best person for you to speak with. If you're calling about PPI, or because you think you were missold a package bank account, please press 1. If your call is about a payday loan, please press 2. If you think you might have been the victim of fraud or a scam, please press 3. If your call is about car finance, or a problem with a car you bought on finance, please press 4. For anything else, please press 5. If you already have a case with us, press 1. Otherwise, please press 2, and one of my colleagues will be with you shortly.
I'll press 2.
Good morning, you're through to Rob at the Financial Ombudsman Service. How can I help?
Hello, how are you doing? My name's Simon, Mr. Simon Cordell. And I was just wondering if I can get some general advice off yourselves.
Certainly. Are you able to tell me about what's happened?
Yeah, in short, it's a long-term issue that's been ongoing, but where I am asking for advice is not throughout all of the years that I've had the issue, it's at the present time and what I'm going through right now in the process. I'm basically suing the police and the council, Metropolitan Police and Enfield Council, for fraud for fraud and criminal activities, as well as breaches of civil rights. And I've had to document a diary, and in doing so I've had to put FOIs in, freedom of information, subject actual requests into their computers, and get all my personal data from all of their systems, the NHS, the police, the council, and put into a diary format in day order so I can see exactly what happened to me and what they've done. I can prove, as I'm saying, a lot of criminal actions by their employees, to an extent where you could even say it seduces up to attempted murder, do you know, corporate attempted murder. But what's actually happened now is, after lots of arguing and thousands of emails and the rest of it, and applications being put against me to take my home off me, the list is endless. Basically, I've ended up with all of their insurance policies. And I've got the council's insurance policies. They're insured with 3 different companies throughout the years of 2012 till 2022. I've got their public liability insurance policies. That's what I requested. And the public liability policy for the council, and I've done the same for the police and the doctors, all of them seem to be insured for about 50 million each year. So each company that I've took the policies off of will be insured for about 500 million each on their public liability insurance. Now, also, there's 4 companies, say, like the MPs, Joanne Ryan's office, and the rest of the MPs' insurance policies, NHS Resolutions. There's Enfield Council have 3 companies that was involved in the fraud. They have the Safer Neighbour Unit, which is the neighbour office, which has its own FAT number. They have the council themselves, which has its own FAT number, and they also have Enfield Homes. So the council have 3 companies that are on with their insurance policies. The police have theirs. Now, what I've noticed is the police and the council acted in joint circular and frauded an application, an ASBO application, which I can prove. And that's they've held me in my house for 9 years on curfew and the rest of it, yeah? Now, when I look through the police are insured with Sorich Insurance, and they have been insured with Sorich Insurance from, I think, 2015. Say, yeah, to 2016, sorry, they was insured with Sorich Insurance, and they took a long-term insurance policy, so they had endorsements, so it had to be for 5 years, the insurance policy did. And so that would mean 2016 till 2021, and that would be June. So next month they're going to have to renew their long-term policy with Sorich. Have you took a general note of what I've explained so far, yeah?
Yeah, I'm keeping a note of it, thank you.
So, basically, the council are insured with travellers' insurance from 2011 for 5 years up till 2015. They get insured on the 1st of April, the beginning of the tax year. And then from travellers' insurance, they went and got an insurance company called Aspen, who insured them up until 2019 from 15 April. Now, they've checked. Aspen seems to be QBE, which is another insurance company, and from in 2019 they seem to have got rid of Aspen as the middle person, and now QBE directly are insuring the council from 2019 and onwards. Now, I've got all of the insurance policies here in front of me, and I've got my good reason to be suing them, and I'm in the right for suing them, and they're companies, they're government companies, so they should be part of the Equality Act 2010. So they should. So each person should be treated equally and fairly, and their clients. So the reason I'm saying this will come around in a second to my point, what I'm explaining, where I need help with. Basically, what's happened is I've gone through the police's insurance policy, and they do a lot of work in the general public, and it says that they're covered under page 113 of their insurance policy for dishonesty. So dishonesty is classed as a criminal activity. If one of their staff prepare a case disfavorably to what it really is in a BIOS way, then the person could serve a prison sentence, and they can come out and maybe prove their case and to appeal against it, and they could prove that dishonesty took place, and that could be the reason it was turned over, which is a criminal action. Now, so I was quite happy that the police covered a criminal aspect, or if one of their employees done fraud and frauded an application which deprived someone of their liberty and life for a period of time, they should be covered. Now, I'm going to jump to the other policy, but back to Sorich in a second, the police. With the council, I've checked the council, and the council are not insured for criminal actions or fraudulent actions of their staff. Even when visiting, like Enfield Council's got a portfolio of 11,000 houses that they rent out. And when their employees are visiting their own premises, if they was to take an article with criminal intent from somebody's house, one of their subcontractors was to, they wouldn't be insured under these grounds, under Travellers and under Aspen and under QBE through all of the years, which was quite surprising. And obviously I intend to sue them, and I'm upset now that they haven't got an insurance policy that would cover them in this sense. But where there was joint enterprise in the first ASBO application that they made, I knew that I could sue the police because the police had dishonesty inside of the application. So what I intended to do was to, it's like if three people commit a crime and two of them get away but one gets caught and he's insured, the insurance company would pay the victim because that one person got caught and was insured. It wouldn't matter that the other two got away. So the way I was looking at it, in logic, like with a logical view of it or an insight, I was thinking, well, just because the other two have been caught, the council and neighbourhood office team have been caught, and they weren't insured, the one person was insured, so the insurance company like Sorich would normally pay out the victim, and they might recover cost off of the council and the neighbourhood office team for a percentage of each of their liability if the evidence was condemning enough to prove that they were liable to prosecution. So I was thinking, so okay, great, I can, well, at least I've got Sorich. The council's completely messed up here, so I'm going to go with Sorich. Now, I've read through Sorich's underwriting, and this is where it gets a bit technical. Like, where they're saying, what Sorich say is, yeah, we'll cover you for dishonesty, but we'll only cover you for 2 years. Now, we'll only cover you for 2 years after the policy. So there's two ways of looking at this, the way that I looked at it, okay, well, they're in a long-term contract for 5 years from 2016 to 21 next month, June, and if they was to take, if you was to say, okay, well, there's a two-year extension for dishonesty at the end of the contract, so into next month in 2021, that would say you'd have till 2023 to submit dishonesty if you was the police to Sorich. Now that would be a breach of the Equality Act 2010, because it'd be disproportionate and unfavourable to their clients in knowing that the company set out to mandate the Equality Act that they're providing insurance for. And the reason for that being would be the first person in 16, if something happened to him or her or she, she would have 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and then the two-year extension, giving them 7 years. If something happened to the person at in 17, he would only have 6 years. And if something happened to the person in 21, he would only have 2 years to claim. So it's disproportionate against their clients if you was to try to balance the equation of the clause of 2 years in that sense. So I thought that's a breach of the Equality Act. So I thought, well, let's look at it the other way then. So at the end of 16, when they first take out the policy, they've got 2 years for 16, so they'd have to submit it by 18. For 17, there'd be 2 years. Now, that would make it sort of equal, but where that would disadvantage the council's and the police's clients or anybody's, the police send people to prison for a long-term sentences for like 3 years, and they don't have access to information until they get released from prison, like the internet. So if you got 3 years in prison and the policy worked not at the end of the long term, but after each year actually happened, that would mean any person that got convicted to 3 years in prison would not be insured, would not be at the council. When they got released and built their case, the police wouldn't be insured to cover them. Whereas if someone got a short sentence, they only got 1 year, they'd have 2 years after getting out of prison to be able to prepare that case. So it disadvantages and it's unequal to any person in that sense, that everyone should be equal and the policy should cover them. Because just because someone's done 1 year and proved their innocence and that something was wrong, because someone's done 3 years or more, they've proved their innocence after the 3 years, they've suffered even more at the end of the 3 years, and they're entitled to their money as much as the first person who got only suffered a year that proved their innocence. So it's disproportionate and unfavourable to any person in that sense. Now, the reason I'm explaining this is because I want to claim off the policy for 2014 as I've got, and so that would work out. I'd only have 2016 to submit my claim to them. I did inform the police of what was going on my claim, but they put me to a disadvantage and tried to avoid prosecution and prolonged the case and what's been going on. So I don't fall within the timeline now that I've read the policy to claim off the insurance. So this means that I'm going to sue the police directly now, and the police are going to have to pay out of their own pockets because their insurance company don't cover them because of this 2 year one clause in it that's unfavourable to any client that it was initially set out to provide for, and for them set to protect the insuree as well. And it's a breach of the Equality Act. So I was wondering, if I put something like this in writing, I know that the you as an ombudsman or a civilian that provides services for us as an ombudsman, you are independent from Parliament, but I know that you do have a lot of strong connections in that area. So if I was to put something like this in writing and explain where the clause in Sorich's policy is disproportionate and it's not fair, and I was to send that to yourselves, would you and your team be able to oversee this fact, and would you be able to make an overall decision that overrides that, maybe with Parliament's assistance or something like that? So, because then the police would be covered, and everyone, and then the companies ain't going to take such a big hit, and the clause is wrong in being termed the way it is anyway in the policy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I do understand where you're coming from with that, and I think, yeah, certainly, as you said yourself, I think obviously that doesn't stop you from being able to sort of make a sort of legal case against the police, but obviously their own insurance doesn't cover them. From what you've explained, typically when we're dealing with insurers, the only kind of cases we can deal with are where a member of the public has a problem with their own insurer, but there are a couple of other organisations who might be better placed to help you out with what you just explained for me. Because again, on one point, we can only sort of look at individual cases rather than making sort of broader brush findings that affect the fairness of the business, the way the business is set up. Okay. So it might be something that's actually worth contacting the Financial Conduct Authority about. They're a bit more, that they sort of deal with things at more of an industry level. And in addition to that, I think I'd also I can also give you the details of the there's a separate ombudsman scheme who deal with government departments. So I've got their details here as well. If you find that helpful,
is that possible? Is there any way that you'd be able to email me the information over to my email account, please? I'd be most grateful if you could help assist in that.
Yeah, I can do. I would need to set you up on our system, which would involve taking some details over the phone. Alternatively, if you prefer, I can read you out the details.
Okay, go on. You tell me if you want to. So the Financial Conduct Authority is one of them, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. I'm just bringing their details up now.
Does it sound plausible what I'm explaining, and that the term isn't feasible for purpose of the policy or for the terms under the grounds to which I'm stating?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. I think from what you've said, I'm not sure, I'm struggling to see how that would disadvantage you though, in the sense that your dispute is directly with the council and the police.
Because my claim is, it's taken me a long time to put my case together, because there's like over 4 million words to it, where I was maliciously processed for a long duration of time. I was given a 9-year sentence in my house where I'm not allowed to do stuff. At the same time, they've gone for a possession order, then maliciously processed an injunction order, then another injunction order, and then another possession order. So I've been dealing with all of these cases, and I've won all of these cases now in the courts of law, alongside a lot of other stuff that's happened to me. So I've only just come out of the process of being of continuously being rushed to the court, like 360 court appearances between them all, do you know? And I've been at a stage where I've had the doctors continuously pushed on me by referrals by the council, and that they've never said that there's anything wrong with me. That's like, I've always managed to prove that that my integrity is intact. But at the end of the day, from the FOIs, I can prove who was referring me, what was happening, who frauded all of the computer systems and where they were frauded, how they made 31 allegations up for like a possession order, and I wasn't in my house when they made them up, not, and they didn't realise that I was on bail conditions to live somewhere else. So they've thrown all that at me, then they've lost that case, got it struck out, not allowed to put it back into court, and reinstated it back in, and opened up another case with another claim number and the company credit card, and then they've gone and done an affidavit of service, reinstated in order the struck out case, and like they've just been they've had me trapped in targeted malice and malicious process. And you know, because of the unfair I'm one person on my own fighting multi corporations now, because of what I've been put through, it's done this. I've spoke to them about the Time Limitation Act, and where they were tested, where in fraud cases there is no Time Limitation Act or time for them to stop you claiming against them because of as long as they're denying the fraud. So I know that there's no limitations around the law in me claiming for these things under the grounds which I am. And when they're accusing you of being like mentally ill or something like that, they have tried to do to me to undermine me. They've basically gave me another get out clause for the time and what's not, because of any person that's not supposed to be mentally stable is not allowed to, the time limit doesn't start for them until they get better. So with them being constantly accusing me of being like that, it doesn't give them much of a defence to say, okay, well, because you've been doing this or you've been building your defence and you've taken too long, you're out of time, sort of thing. So I've sort of covered the grounds there.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I think no, that does make good sense to me. Thanks for taking me through it. But yeah, I think, as I say, it's something that's worth speaking to the FCA about, the Financial Conduct Authority, and the other ombudsman service that I mentioned.
What was the other ombudsman service? How do I abbreviate the difference?
Okay, certainly. I got their names, bring their details up on the screen. I've got the Financial Conduct Authority there. I'll just get the other ones for you now. I'll be one moment.
Okay, thank you. Do you have to do law degrees and everything to get to do your job?
We're not strictly a legal organisation. We're more of a we arbitrate disputes around financial services. So we don't require law degrees in order to work here.
But it sharpened up your skills on it, I suspect, and your human rights and the rest of it.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I'll pick you up there a bit more.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's okay.
Got the details in. Certainly. So the other ombudsman service I've got here, they are the local government ombudsman for England. So I've got the details here for both of them, whenever you're happy for me to start reading those.
Okay, go on, perfect.
Okay, perfect. So the local government ombudsman, their phone number is 0300.
Okay.
061.
061. So it's 0300 061 0614.
That's right, yeah. And I've got their, so they don't have a direct email address, but they do have a form you can contact them on via writing on their website, which I've got that address here if you like it.
Okay, I'll put the telephone number into Google and it'll pull up all of the details for them, and I'll have a read on their site and what's not.
Okay, perfect.
So that's the two. Go on.
Yeah, and then the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority.
Okay. Do you have a telephone number for them?
Yeah, certainly. So it's 0800.
0800.
111.
6768. 6768. Okay, well, you've been a great assistance and I appreciate your time today.
No problem. I hope they are able to help you out, and I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you. Okay, have a good evening. Goodbye.
You too, bye-bye.
I got